Hi everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Tomorrow Never Knows, a Beatles podcast. And we've got some big news for you today. First of all, Paul McCartney is coming out to Sydney in October, and I've already got my tickets. Really good seats, by the way. Really good seats. Just behind the VIP section, but they cost $400. But, you know, it's worth it. But the only thing is, I looked at the set list for the Got Back tour, and it is way inferior to the set list of when I saw him in 2017. It hasn't got as many Beatles songs, and it hasn't got as many good Beatles songs. But, you know, I'm going to see Paul, but I'm also going because I want to see Paul singing I Got a Feeling with John. That's just going to be absolutely amazing, and that's why I'm going. And in other news, there's a new Beatles single coming out at the end of the year, which Paul says is his last song, or the Beatles' last song. And he hasn't said what it is, but I think it's like a 99.9% chance that it's going to be the song Now and Then. So for those who don't know, Now and Then was recorded or attempted to be recorded in the same sessions as Free as a Bird. And George didn't like it, so they abandoned it. And Paul has been saying throughout the years, he's, you know, he always wants to go in and finish it up. So I think it's going to be that song. You know, I'm sure most of you have heard it. If you haven't, you can hear it on YouTube, but that's John's demo on YouTube. I'm not a big fan of the song. I think it's a bit depressing. I'm just hoping they give it sort of like the Strawberry Fields type treatment. You know, they make it a little bit more psychedelic, adding the Mellotron and some backwards guitar and, you know, stuff like that, which they will not do that. I know they will not do that. They'll be more likely to give it, you know, the Let It Be, Long and Winding Road, big ballad type treatment. But, you know, Paul's also said they've used AI to lift John's vocal, to isolate John's vocal, to get that piano that's in the demo out of there, get his vocal and to beef it up. And I guess, you know, like George is on it. George did play on it. He's on it. Ringo's on it. Paul's on it. And it's probably going to be the last Beatles song, according to Paul. But I'm just wondering what format it's going to come out in, and knowing the Beatles, it's going to come out in every format. I'm interested in hearing the song and what they do to it, but I'm most interested in what's going to be on the B-side. So if it comes out in vinyl format, which it will, I want to know what's going to be on the B-side. Are we going to get something that we haven't heard before, we've never heard before? I wouldn't mind, actually, if they did the same treatment to Free as a Bird and Real Love, just isolating John's vocals, getting that vocal away from the piano, being able to beef it up and just remixing it again. I'd be happy with that for the B-sides. If you had Real Love, Free as a Bird remixed on the B-side, I'd be happy with that. Or also, I'd be happy with, you know, another version of Now and Then, that version that I was talking about on the B-side, a more Strawberry Fields psychedelic type version. So that's coming out at the end of the year. I'm just curious if that's going to have any effect on the Rubber Soul box set that's supposed to be coming out at the end of the year. Now, there's rumours that that's not going to come out. There's all sorts of rumours. There's rumours that they're going to do the Blue and Red album in a box set and add more songs to it. But I really want that Rubber Soul box. I really want that Rubber Soul box. And I just want to talk a little bit about what I want in that Rubber Soul box set. And I've been thinking about it, and I want something different, a bit different. I think, I think the Let It Be and the Abbey Road box sets weren't that great. I mean, you know, I'm glad to have them. I think the best ones so far have been, or the best, I think the best one is the White Album box set, followed by the Revolver and followed by Sergeant Pepper. But I just want something different for the Rubber Soul box set. And I was thinking, you know, in these last couple of box sets, they've been giving us mono versions. Like in the Revolver box set, we got a mono version of the album. We've all got mono versions of the album, although the Rubber Soul box set mono version is supposed to be the best mono version out there. People are saying, all audiophiles are saying it's the best one because of the way it was cut. And I'm just thinking, if they're going to keep giving us these mono versions, like I've got five different mono versions of Rubber Soul, give us something special. Give us something special. Give us, I don't know, give us coloured vinyl. Give us coloured vinyl. My favourite, by the way, is that see-through Coke bottle green. Give us coloured vinyl. Give us maybe an obi, like they did in the Japanese ones, you know, the paper slips, or the language of whatever country it's released in, and give us more outtakes. Like, seriously, that's what I'm really buying them for. I'm buying them for the outtakes. I'm happy to have everything else, but I'm buying them for the outtakes. Give us more outtakes, even if you have to give us the outtakes that we've already got. It's good to have them in one place. It's good, you know, it'd be good to have like all those outtakes, the ones on Anthology, whatever other ones they can find, and put them on the Rubber Soul one. So when you want to listen to the Rubber Soul outtakes, you just grab it, put it on, and they're all there. So the big, big, big news is, well, I've got a friend who's a film editor who's worked on some very big films. The last film he worked on was the latest Avatar film. And he's working with Wingnut Films, which is Peter Jackson's film company. And he was telling me, and he's not like the main editor of these movies. He's a sub-editor. So what a sub-editor is the main editor will give all these sub-editors little projects. Like, for example, he worked on that film Glass Onion. Great title, by the way. And one of his projects was there's a famous scene in it where the glass shatters, and he had to work on the shattering glass, doing, you know, green screen and AI and all that sort of stuff on the shattering glass. So he's a sub-editor. He's working with Peter Jackson at the moment. And what happened was all these sub-editors got Beatles footage. They were sent this Beatles footage. And he's a Beatles fan. He loves the Beatles, but he's not like us. He wouldn't be listening to this podcast. My friend, that is, not Peter Jackson. Well, Peter Jackson wouldn't either. But he got all this footage, and it was Beatles footage, and he looked at it. And when he first looked at it, he thought, oh, wow, you know, this is old footage, and they've just cleaned it up and made it HD to the max, and it just looks fantastic. He thought it was great, you know. And he told me the footage was from all different periods of the Beatles too. So it was, you know, like, you know, the Beatlemania footage and some sort of like White Album Let It Be type footage and some footage in between Sergeant Pepper and all that sort of stuff. And he thought they'd just found this old footage and they just cleaned it up. And he thought, oh, geez, I wonder what they're going to do with that. Then they get an email. They get an email about 2 weeks later. What did you think of the footage? And he just said that. Everyone said, you know, looks great. We like what you've done with it. You've cleaned it up. It looks, you know, phenomenal. It's fantastic. And then they got another email saying, no, this isn't old footage. This is new footage that we have made with AI. I'll just let that sink in. This is new footage that we have made with AI. And if you listen to a podcast called Things We Said Today, they did an interview with Peter Jackson that went for like 3 or 4 hours. It's fantastic. You have to listen to it. And Peter Jackson is talking about how you can basically duplicate anyone now with the technology they have, you can duplicate anyone and no one can tell the difference. And what they've been doing with that is for stunt work. So say, for example, they duplicated Tom Cruise, they could make him explode, fall off a cliff, whatever, and it looks real. It looks like the real thing. So basically what Peter Jackson has done is he's put together or created this new footage, sent it out to all these special effects experts, not told them what the footage was, just to see what their feedback was, and all of them thought it was old footage. Not one of them thought it was created. That's how good it looks. Now the question is, what are they going to do with this footage? I mean, there's so many options out there. There's so many options. I mean, they could be making a film clip for the new record for Now and Then, and just using, you know, images or created images of the Beatles throughout their history. They could be beefing up Anthology. I mean, there's a lot of missing footage in Anthology. There's a Hamburg, all the Hamburg stuff. There's no footage of Hamburg. There's no footage, basically no footage of Sgt. Pepper stuff. No footage of White Album stuff. They could be doing that. I like to think they're going to be making a Beatles movie, like a sequel to A Hard Day's Night, and using, say, the music from Beatles for Sale as a soundtrack, something like that, or a live-action Yellow Submarine. That would be just awesome. Can you imagine, with all the special effects they can do now, making a live-action Yellow Submarine? They might be making a Beatles biopic, you know, like telling the Beatles stories with the Beatles or images of the Beatles acting it all out. They might be making film clips for all the songs that don't have film clips, like, you know, a Tomorrow Never Knows film clip, or they might be making clips for all of Rubber Soul. Imagine that, with the Rubber Soul box set, you get a DVD with every song and every song has a film clip. They could do that with all their albums. I mean, it's endless, it's limitless. They could even make a Beatles vs. Godzilla movie if they want. But what I think they will do 100% for sure is something like the ABBA Voyager concert. Now, for those who don't know what that is, what ABBA did was about 10 years ago, they started creating these ABBA avatars that look like ABBA. And then they decided to do a fully fledged concert with the avatars, you know, all in different costumes, and they look like ABBA 1978. And ABBA built their own arena in London called ABBA Arena, and they're staging concerts there. So these avatars are performing concerts with just amazing lights, and you can check it out on YouTube. It's got a couple of little clips on YouTube, and, you know, it looks about, I don't know, I'd say 80% real, but ABBA were dealing with technology from 10 years ago. They're not dealing with the same technology that Peter Jackson is dealing with. So they've got these concerts, these ABBA Voyager concerts in their own little arena, which they paid for, so there's no sponsorship or anything like that. It holds like 3,000 people, and they're doing concerts every day of the week. On Saturdays and Sundays, they do them twice. 3,000 people packed, absolutely packed every time. It was supposed to run for about 3 months, but now they've extended it to the end of 2026. So I'm thinking that's what the Beatles are going to do. I mean, they're crazy. They're crazy if they don't do that, especially with what my friend has seen, where you can't tell that footage apart from real Beatles footage. It looks that real, looks 100% real. Can you imagine that? The Beatles Arena in London. Seats 3,000 people, or for the Beatles probably have to be 6,000 people, and you just get a fully fledged concert with songs from all eras of the Beatles, looking 100% real with a fantastic light show. I mean, they would have to set up arenas all over the world. And can you imagine the merch too? The merch would be fantastic. The only thing that I think that could stop that is that Paul is still touring and he might think, well, you know, that's going to take away from my concerts. I mean, you know, who wants to come and see me when they can go see a Beatles concert that looks 100% real? But as I said, the options are limitless, absolutely limitless, and I'm sure they're probably going to do all those things, whether we're alive to see it all, because we're not getting any younger, but I'm sure they will do all those things in the next few years. So keep an eye out, and remember, you heard it here first. Okay, the top 10 Beatles singles. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the top 10 selling American singles. As we know, the American singles were different from the British singles. Then I'm going to give you the top 10 English singles. Then I'm going to give you the top 5 songs on Spotify. Then I'm going to give you my top 10 last of all. So if you don't care, you can switch off. So let's start off with the American singles. At number 10, we have Help. Number 9, Ticket to Ride. Number 8, 8 Days a Week. Now, that wasn't a single in Britain. And I don't know why, because it's such a great song. But number 8 was 8 Days a Week. Number 7, I Feel Fine. Number 6, A Hard Day's Night. Number 5, Can't Buy Me Love. Number 4, Twist and Shout. Again, wasn't a single in Britain, although there was an EP. Number 3, From Me to You. Number 2, She Loves You. And of course, number 1, I Want to Hold Your Hand. The top 10 selling singles in the UK were Get Back, Hello Goodbye, Help, From Me to You, Hey Jude, Day Tripper / We Can Work It Out, I Feel Fine, Can't Buy Me Love, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and the top one is She Loves You. Okay, so now I'm going to give you the top 5 songs from Spotify. And what we have to remember here is the top 5 the top 5 songs that have actually been played that month, not necessarily the top 5 with the most hits. So it's the top 5 of that month, although number 1 does have the most hits out of everyone. So number 5 is Twist and Shout. And by the way, that's had 388 million hits. Yesterday is number 4, and that's had 532 million hits. Let It Be has had 583 million hits. Number 2 is Come Together with 631 million hits. And number 1, the most popular Beatles song on Spotify with over a billion hits is Here Comes the Sun. So I just find it interesting that number 1 wasn't even a single, Here Comes the Sun, and number 2 was a B-side. All right, I'm going to give you my top 10 hits, so you can switch off if you're not interested. So here's my top 10 Beatles singles. At number 10, Hello Goodbye, B-side I'm the Walrus. Now, I love Hello Goodbye as a song. But it's not one of my favourite Beatles songs. The reason I have it at number 10 is for the B-side, I Am the Walrus. I recently played that to some younger people who don't know much about the Beatles, and they were just blown away. They were like, this is the Beatles? And one of them said something actually interesting. It said, he's rapping. John Lennon's actually rapping at the beginning of that. But, you know, I'm the Walrus. I think that should have been the A-side. John thought that should have been the A-side as well. I'm the Walrus is a masterpiece. And because of the B-side, I've put that at number 10. Number 9, We Can Work It Out, Day Tripper. Now, not a huge fan of Day Tripper, but I love We Can Work It Out. I mean, that's, you know, who doesn't like that? That's John and Paul together, and it shows both their styles. You know, it's got the positive Paul stuff, you know, him trying to make amends, or, and then it's got the negative John, you know, life is very short. Number 8, Can't Buy Me Love, You Can't Do That. I love both those songs. Can't Buy Me Love, I think, is one of Paul's best, certainly one of his best early things. And from looking at his set list for the Got Back tour, he's starting the concert off with Can't Buy Me Love these days. When I went and saw him, he sang Hard Day's Night was the first song, and Can't Buy Me Love, I think, was like the third song. But Hard Day's Night has been thrown out of the set, which I'm really pissed off about. A lot of the songs, We Can Work It Out was in the set as well, and that's been taken out. But, you know, what can you do? What can you do? Number 7, Something and Come Together. Something is just such a beautiful song. It's one of George's best. You know, what can you say? What can you say about that song? Paul does a really good tribute to George in the concert. And then Come Together, which is another fantastic song, which I, like I just told you, is the number 2 most downloaded or most hit song on Spotify, which is, it's kind of crazy. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why Here Comes the Sun and Come Together are 1 and 2. Is it because they're in some film or something? I don't know why. But that was my number 7. My number 6 is Yellow Submarine and Eleanor Rigby. Now, I've got that at number 6, not because of Yellow Submarine. I love Yellow Submarine because I remember when I was in kindergarten, we used to sing that song. And I didn't know it was the Beatles then. And I love the Yellow Submarine movie. But it's there for Eleanor Rigby. Eleanor Rigby, which again was in the 2017 concert that I saw with Paul, but has been wiped out of the Got Back tour. I guess it's getting harder and harder for him to sing, but Eleanor Rigby is an absolute classic. Absolute classic. I think that's one of Paul's best. That's probably in the top 3 of my Paul songs. So that's why it's at number 6. Number 5, A Hard Day's Night and Things We Said Today. Now, if you've listened to all my podcasts, which haven't been that many, but if you've listened to them, you know that I'm a big fan of the Beatles cartoon. That's what actually got me into the Beatles, and it used to start with A Hard Day's Night. So I knew all the words to Hard Day's Night before I could even speak. And it's just such a great song. I love it. And I love it when Paul comes in. It's a fantastic song. And Things We Said Today, now here's an interesting story. Like, Things We Said Today is like a bit of a darker song. And they recorded that after A Hard Day's Night. And the Beatles actually wanted that to be the A-side because they thought, you know, this is something different. And they really liked it and they wanted it to be the A-side. And the producer of the film, A Hard Day's Night, had to beg them not to put it on the A-side and put the title of the film on the A-side, which is what they eventually did. Number 4 comes from the other Beatles film, Help. Love Help. Absolutely love Help. One of John's best songs. Again, the Beatles cartoon used to end with Help, so I just love that song. Absolutely love it. And the B-side, I'm Down, which I really like. And at the end of I'm Down, Paul says, Plastic Soul Man, Plastic Soul. And that's where they got the title for Rubber Soul. Number 3 is She Loves You and I'll get you. Now, She Loves You, to me, is such an underrated song. She Loves You went into popular culture. She Loves You, to me, was the first single that really had the Beatles sound to it. You know, and what I mean about it made its way into popular culture was at the time, when you look back at the time, everything, pop music, was identified by the words yeah, yeah, yeah. Like if you look at bootleg Beatles merchandise back in those days, they weren't allowed to use the Beatles name, of course. So what they did was they'd just put drawings of lookalike Beatles, and they'd just put yeah, yeah, yeah on a guitar or whatever. And people, I remember as a kid, you know, when I saw something like that, I knew it was a Beatles straight away just from the words yeah, yeah, yeah and those pictures. And if you look at all posters for rock concerts or pop concerts that didn't even involve the Beatles, that have yeah, yeah, yeah with Herman's Hermits and stuff like that. So I think it's really underrated. And, you know, the Beatles have never really said that much about it. They've always said, oh, you know, it was a song we had to write, or we said to each other, let's write a swimming pool for ourselves. And they wrote She Loves You. Although Paul did come out and say in Anthology that it was like they wrote a song in the third person where they were saying, you know, she loves you. And it's you know, it's like they're telling a friend a story. Number two is Paperback Writer and Rain. What a single. What a single. It has to be one of the greatest A and B sides of all time. If not, well, have to hear what my number one is first. But, you know, Paperback Writer, just a great song, great drums, great guitar riff, great harmonies. I think that's Paul McCartney's best song. Interesting side note for that, the writers, Boyce and Hart, they were writing songs for the Monkees TV show, and they had to come up with the Monkees' first single, and they went for a walk, and they were saying, well, you know, what are we going to do, what's going to be the first single? And they said they heard from a distance out a window that they heard Paperback Writer, someone was playing Paperback Writer, and then they went home and wrote Last Train to Clarksville, you know. And that's, if you listen to Last Train to Clarksville, that's, you can tell it's a rip-off of Paperback Writer. But even though it was a rip-off of Paperback Writer, Last Train to Clarksville went on to be a classic and to sell millions and millions of records. Now the B-side, Rain. Man, what, you know, just what a great, great psychedelic song. You know, I've said before, Paperback Writer and Rain should have been on Revolver. That would have been just mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. And of course, we all know the story that John took home the tape of Rain, and he did something, he screwed something up and a bit played backwards, and he liked that sound, and he went back to George Martin, and it's got that backwards ending. And it's the first record, it's the first pop record with any backwards stuff on it, you know. So, you know, that's my number two. And my number one, number one Beatles single of all time is, of course, Strawberry Fields Forever and Penny Lane. Now, to my surprise, that single didn't make it to number one. And it didn't make it to number one because it was a double A side. And so what was happening was people were going in asking for Penny Lane. And so they'd mark down a sale for Penny Lane. And if someone went in and asked for Strawberry Fields, they'd mark it down for Strawberry Fields. So they'd split the song. So Penny Lane went to number one and Strawberry Fields went to like number 20. And it was held off by, I can't remember, but some lame song held it off. But if you added the sales of Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields, it more than doubled what was number one. So I think that's one of, you know, one of the biggest Beatles tragedies ever. But Both those songs are fantastic. That both those, you know, it's John hitting genius with Strawberry Fields. It's Paul hitting genius with Penny Lane. And I remember as a kid hearing Penny Lane and just hearing all the sounds that was coming out. It was just exploding out of the radio, and I was like, "Who is this?" And when I heard it was the Beatles, it just blew my mind. But Strawberry Fields, I like Strawberry Fields better because that, and it still does today, that takes me away. It absolutely, you know, if I'm lying down and I'm listening to it, it just takes me to another place. And here's one thing I want to say too about Strawberry Fields. In like all the outtakes we've never gotten, you know how Strawberry Fields was two songs that were put together. You've got that sort of like that laid back part, and then all the brass comes in. Well, there's a full brass version. I've got it on one of my bootlegs, and that's never come out officially. So maybe they're going to put that on the Magical Mystery Tour box set if we ever get that. Anyway, that's my top 10. Thank you for listening again. Lots of big news. I'm just really blown away about that film news. I want to see what they're going to do with that. If I hear anything, I'll be straight back on and I'll let you know. So everyone, have a Beatles day. Enjoy.